Always great to have our friend Paul Tunco in the studio with us from New York's 20th District. You work like a dog, Paul. I've never seen anybody work as hard as you work.
I love the job.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Now, I think it's a combination of really liking this work and being in these challenging times. I think that drives the passion to be everywhere and try to get things done in a way that gets us back on track because...
make America great again.
Yeah, hey, wow. You know, like, I guess we lost our greatness, according to Mr. Trump, but, you know, I think that's where some people part company with him because we believe we're a strong and strong nation and a world leader, but we can always be stronger. And it's about seeking that perfect union, keeping on pace to search for perfection. And I think that moves us up the scale, which is great. But to suggest that we're not great and to go through all of these, as people said, go through a convention that was so dark and gloomy, just is not what people need right now. There's a lot of challenges, absolutely. But to respond to those with a sense of can-do attitude is important.
So, Paul Tunco, I just saw the latest New York poll here, and it suggested that Hillary is ahead by 30 points in New York. That's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot, and it didn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I think that his message is so negative.
But he's from Queens, man. Doesn't that mean all the Queens people have to vote for him?
No, I think that when we saw former Mayor Bloomberg, at the Democratic convention talk about the con artist issue.
I remember.
I know a number of people indicated on behalf of business in New York City that they all share that opinion. So I think his reputation has, really been one of, not committing to a progressive agenda. And I think it's well known in New York City. And the more you seem to know this candidate, the more you question the fact that he doesn't really have positions well-defined. He doesn't appear to know a lot of the issues and doesn't seem to be wanting to take us down the appropriate track.
Okay. Here's the thing. The upshot in the New York Times, you read it, I'm sure, and every day it tells you what Hillary's chances are and what Trump's chances are. The last time I looked, his chances were 12%, and her chances were something like 88%. But the first sentence never changes. The first sentence always says, but Trump could win this election. Can he?
I suppose anything is possible, but I don't see it happening at all. I think that, again, the more that, the campaign develops both candidates, she has the substance going, the experience that reinforces that. And I think a connection with the issues that New York is concerned with. How do we grow an economy? How do we participate in an innovation economy? Her sensibilities of having to develop a workforce that can engage in that sort of innovation economy, and how best to work towards national security. He is. You hear from more and more people that. Perhaps have traveled to Europe or Asia this summer, coming back saying everyone they talk to is frightened about what's happening in America. I think people see him as an unsteady force, one that could provoke some sort of major disruption on the world scene. These are not, and people want to feel safe. They want to feel comforted by the fact that the person who will lead us knows the issues and has developed solutions, and he's just not doing that. And I'm amazed at the number of folks who have endorsed him and have not withdrawn that endorsement because, with time, he has just become more and more of a question mark.
Okay, so Paul Tunco, this 30-point lead for Hillary in New York, that portends interesting things. For example, many people have thought for a while now that the state Senate would go Democratic. So therefore, the chances, of course, are enhanced by the fact that a lot of Democratic voters will turn out and vote for Hillary and bring the state, New York State Senate, with Hillary. Are there any other implications based on a 30-point lead?
Well, I think in the entire map of the country, upstate New York holds the greatest potential for flippable seats, that we can turn a number of these Republican-held seats around to be Democratic.
Okay, held. Just definitionally, upstate New York, is everything over West, Yonkers, New York, or what?
No, I would say from the north of Westchester County.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got a North Country seat, we've got a Buffalo seat, a Southern Tier seat, a Utica Binghamton seat, the Northern Hudson Valley seat. These are areas that will be, I think, very competitive, have been with good candidates, but will become even more competitive with the at the top of the ticket scenario that we're hearing.
So if you're right, is there any chance at all? You always say yes, and I always doubt you, for good reason. that the House could, is there any chance that the House could go Democratic?
I think it puts the House in play. I think that, you know, you have these, say Pennsylvania, which was supposed to be nip and tuck, and now they're double-digit leads in Pennsylvania. You know, you've got strength in North Carolina that was unexpected. And you've got situations, I think, in New England, where, like New Hampshire, we can take a seat, I believe. In Maine, we could take a seat. So you start picking up these seats where you weren't expecting it. I think one of the biggest surprises is suburbia across the country, and where you have maybe a clustering of college-educated voters and younger voters. They're now beginning, I think it's the demographic that's starting to walk away most fiercely from candidate Trump. So I think all of that can cause a major disruption in how all of the prognosticators are thinking and how the voters will respond. I think, you know, it puts the House in play, definitely.
Let's talk for 2 minutes about immigration. He seems to have, Trump indicated that immigrants are dangerous, that we have to super vet them before they come into the country. You know, it brings back memories to me of what I read about 1938, 1937, the Jewish approach from Hitler, now with Muslims. What do you make of it?
I think it's deplorable. I think it does somewhat mimic the issues of the 30s, when I think, 5% of the American public when polled said that German Jews should be allowed into the country. I think that's, you know, a terrible scar on our history. And to now go and inspire that sort of thinking based on another religious bloc or on another ethnic group, you know, when you looked at what he did with Mexicans and the denigration of the Mexican immigrants and of Muslims, those are telltale signs of a playbook that was not a kind and loving playbook that was used and embraced in the 30s by folks like Hitler. There are many people who have said that this behavior is akin to that.
This has never been an easy country. Only have a minute, but this has never been an easy country to get into. Right? So in other words, vetting, it's very hard to get into the United States.
To suggest that there's no vetting is far from the truth, you know, and is there room for improvement? Absolutely. But, you know, I don't think we want to chastise or denigrate a particular group. You know, this broad brush approach where you play off of fear and anger and hate is not American, in my opinion, you know, and I think true leaders reach to the best in us and build us and inspire a coming together rather than dividing. That's not leadership.
Paul Tonko, we love having you here. You are such a great friend that you come into the studio, you sit here, you take my abuse, and I am extremely grateful for that.
And I guess I should say I in some warped way, am too.